Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. This evening we should be looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. Hear the word of the Lord. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is God's word. Let us pray. O our Lord and our God, as we come now to a time of worshipping you through the hearing of your word, we would ask that you would cause us to be attentive to the scripture, that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear this evening what the Spirit would say to us, that you, O Lord, would instruct us in paths of righteousness, that, Lord, you would sanctify us to the truth and cause us to grow in holiness. O Lord, tonight may we hear and do. May we hear your word and apply your word, and may we see the teaching of Christ and how it applies to our life. O Lord, I do pray that you'd be with me as I speak. May I know your presence and liberty that comes from the Spirit, and may Jesus be honored. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
But one of the joys I have in pastoral ministry is that every now and then, I will get someone who decides to contact me. Sometimes contact is great. Other times you're there going, I wish you never found my email. For instance, this morning I got an email which was encouraging. Someone who I don't know decided to write an encouraging letter to say that they were blessed by something that we did here. And I thought that was wonderful. That is nice to hear. But normally you get the email from someone you've never met and someone you probably never will meet, who has listened to something that I've said or heard or read something that I've put online, and this person decides to send me a message, and at starters it's very nice and encouraging. They tell us how wonderful you are, how nice you are, and it's that flattery. You start going, there's a punch coming in a minute, I can see this one coming. And then they say, but. And that moment that but is said, you know everything's about to go downhill very quickly. And these emails and letters that I get generally tell me how bad I am and how much this person thinks I'm wrong. They'll point out all my perceived errors and then tell me that I'm a failure. But one of the most common comments to get from someone is someone who will take offense at something I preach or something that I've written, and they will write to me just telling me how unloving, how mean, and how judgmental I am. And this normally comes after I preach or write on a specific sin or a specific issue, and this seems to hit home to some people, so they will write to me, and they will quote this verse from Luke's Gospel. They will be so angry, they'll say, judge not! And they'll spend the rest of the email passing judgment themselves. It's not something that's confined to me, but I've spoken to many ministers and they can all tell the same story, that it just seems to be that people like to write you letters telling you not to judge while judging you. Judge not and you shall not be judged seems to be the most quoted verse that is used by the non-Christian world and by those who are superficial in their Christianity. It doesn't matter how biblically illiterate someone is. They seem to know this verse. They seem to know the verse, judge not, but of course they know it in the Old English, so they'll quote it to you in King James English saying, judge not, don't you dare judge me, thou shalt not judge. It doesn't matter if they know nothing else about the Bible, they know this verse. And people tend to think that this verse here in Luke's Gospel is the knockout punch that stops Christianity in its tracks. They seem to think that the moment they pull this verse out, Christians can no longer speak with authority on issues relating to sin or morality or even salvation. If you say something is wrong, someone will quickly say, judge not. If you say something is a sin, someone will answer by saying, judge not. If you would say that unless you repent and trust in Jesus, you'll go to hell, the cry of judge not will ascend. They seem to think that this verse just stops everything. Judge not. That seems to be the button that we press when we don't want to hear something that we don't like. And sadly, what has happened is that the world has hit the church so many times with this verse that Christians have foolishly fallen for the trap of believing that we as Christians, that we as believers, are never to make any kind of judgment whatsoever. And some well-meaning Christians will then say statements that will try and make themselves look wonderful by saying, well, it's not for me to judge, and only God can judge. But what they fail to see is that in this passage we have before us tonight in Luke's Gospel, we do not have Jesus forbidding judgment. But rather we have Jesus telling us how to judge rightly. Jesus is not saying don't judge. Jesus is saying, here is how you judge. You see, we all make judgments every day. It's impossible for us never to be judgmental. It comes normally to us. Even the most non-judgmental Christian who never says he judges and it's wrong to judge, just made a judgment call. The moment you say it's wrong to judge, that's a judgment. Jesus doesn't say it's wrong to judge. Jesus says we are to judge correctly. And that's what we see Jesus beginning to explain here in the Sermon on the Mount. As we've already seen in this Sermon on the Mount from Luke's Gospel, Jesus is telling his disciples about kingdom living. He says, this is how you come into the kingdom, this is how you get saved, and here is how you are to act and live and play out your life as believers. As Christians, we are to live in accordance to God's word. We are to act in a way that God says we should act. And that's what Christ brings out here. He said, judgment happens, but you are to judge correctly. You are not to judge as someone who is blind. You are not to judge as someone who has a plank of wood hanging out of your eye. He says you are to judge rightly. You see, when someone comes into the kingdom, when someone comes to embrace Christ and comes a part of God's family, there's still a person who will make judgments. The difference is how they judge. A person who is saved will have a different standard of judgment and a different way of judging to a person who is not saved. And Jesus is saying you as believers are to judge correctly. You as believers are to judge rightly. But just look at what Jesus says, verse 37 to 38. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus here begins to give us a teaching on judgment. Why he deals with things of forgiveness and condemnation in this verse, it all ties into the big picture of judgment. Judgment is the guiding factor here. Jesus is saying judgment, condemnation, forgiveness, they all seem to flow one from another. And he's saying this is how we should be judging people. This is how our Christian lives are to be. And as we read these verses in Luke's Gospel, we must be careful that we don't read them in isolation. That we don't read them out of their context. Sadly, some Christians will read this text and they'll be well-meaning in their understanding and they'll say, look, Jesus explicitly says here, judge not. Therefore, it is impossible for us to judge under any circumstance. And at first reading, it does appear that Jesus is saying that. If we just looked at these verses here and see that Jesus says, judge not and you shall not be judged, we can stop and say, Jesus is condemning all forms of judgment. But as we begin to look at the scripture as a whole, we see that's not what Christ is saying. In fact, if we use the scripture to interpret the scripture, if we begin to follow throughout the word of God the issue of judgment, we see that Jesus actually makes some interesting statements. For instance, in John 7 verse 24, Jesus gives a command. He says these words. This is a command from Christ. He says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Here we have Jesus giving a command. He says, don't judge people by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Judge with right judgment. Christ is telling us that we are to judge, but we're to do so rightly. Yet if we take Luke 6 to say that all judging is wrong, we have an issue. How do we reconcile the command of Christ with what we read here in Luke's Gospel? If we take Luke's Gospel to say all judging is wrong, then we must say that Jesus got it wrong in John's Gospel. They're the only options we've got. Either that, or we've got it wrong. So Jesus explicitly says, judge in right judgment. But then in Luke's Gospel he says, judge not and you shall not be judged. What is right? Are they both right? Yes. They're both true statements. Context is the key to understanding what Jesus is talking about. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus is dealing with the issue of how we judge. He's saying there's two types of judgment. There is the right judgment, the godly way of judging. And then there's the bad way, the hypocritical way of judging. You see, the passage here is not dealing with forbidding judgment, but rather it is forbidding judgment with hypocrisy. That's why Jesus goes on to say, how can you correct someone with a speck in their eye when you've got a plank of wood hanging out of yours? Hypocrite. See, Jesus is saying the judgment that is wrong, the judgment that we should not engage in, is the hypocritical judgment. It's the judgment with hypocrisy. In other words, if you're doing the very thing that you're judging someone for, that is when your judgment is wicked. That is when your judgment is wrong. And that is when Jesus would say, judge not, and you shall not be judged. See, that's the kind of judgment the world hates. The world hates it when the church will come along and Christians will come along and say, hey, don't be doing that. When we do the exact same thing. That's why so many people look at the church and say the church is full of hypocrites. Because we're not judging in right judgment. We're not judging righteously. We're judging in hypocrisy, saying, do what I say, not what I do. You see, our judgment, when it does come to judging someone, and when we do judge, we must do so with wisdom and with righteous judgment. It must be done in a way that doesn't condemn us. It must be done in a way that doesn't condemn Christ. Hypocrisy in judgment must never occur. How can we speak on moral issues to the world if we are violating those same moral issues? How can we say to the world, this is sin and it must not be done, when we do the exact same thing? That's the sort of judgment Jesus is going after here. So I think this hypocritical judgment was seen very clearly recently in the debate over same-sex marriage. Something that I found interesting in reading all the debates over same-sex marriage, reading what churches were saying in Australia, what churches were saying in England, and even here in Scotland, it was interesting to read that a lot of the arguments that Christians made against same-sex marriage was, it's wrong because it will destroy the family. It's wrong because marriage is between one man and one woman, for life. That's a correct statement. The problem is, those who supported same-sex marriage then grabbed that and turned it around and said, hang on, you hypocrites. If marriage is between one man and one woman for life, why is the divorce rate so high in the church? That's hypocritical judgment. We stand and say, it's wrong, you'll destroy the family. Yet they turn around and say, you've already done it. That's hypocritical judgment. That's the judgment that we mustn't engage in. See, when Jesus teaches here on how we should judge, he reminds us that we must be very careful in how we judge. Because by the same standard that we judge others, we will be judged by. As with the same-sex marriage issue, we put the standard up of what marriage is, a correct biblical definition of marriage. And they grabbed that standard. They turned it back and said, let's see how you're doing. By the same standard you judge someone, you will be judged. If you are a hypocrite, if you judge hypocritically saying, this is wrong, and you do the exact same thing, by your words you will be condemned. You'll be judged by the same standard. In Matthew's Gospel, when Matthew records the account of the Sermon on the Mount here, he renders this passage where Jesus talks about judging this way. He says, judge not, and you will not be judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The standard that you judge someone by is the same standard that will be used against you. That is why when it comes to judgment, we must judge with righteous judgment. We must stand upon the word of God and say, this is what God says. He says it's wrong. And it condemns me just as much as it condemns you. But that's where grace kicks in. That's where the gospel comes to light and says, hey, it can forgive hypocrites like me. And it can forgive you also. So the standards that we use to judge people will be used against us. That should slow us down when it comes to judging people. Before we quickly run out and condemn people, we better make sure that we're not doing the exact same thing. Before we condemn someone and judge someone for their sin, we better make sure that we're not doing that same sin, because the moment we condemn and judge them, we are condemning and judging ourselves. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We will face a full and complete judgment if we judge in hypocrisy. And the language that Jesus uses here with pressing things down and measuring is actually it's an illustration from the farming world. Back then, what they would do is when they went to buy wheat, they would get their bushel baskets and they would firstly get a good measure of wheat, the exact measure of wheat. And then they would put it in the bushel, and then they would start shaking it to make sure everything went down, and they filled it completely. That there was no empty spaces and everything was full. And then they'd keep pouring wheat in until it started to overflow. And they'd say, now this is a full measure. And Jesus is saying, that's what will happen to you. If you judge with hypocrisy, you judge someone, you condemn someone, that standard is going to be used back against you. It's going to be a full and total judgment. You will be shaken to make sure that you get a full measure of condemnation, that you get a full measure of judgment if you judge in hypocrisy. So this tells us that God takes how we judge seriously. He takes it very seriously. Yet so many people, especially Christians, who are some are very well-meaning, are quick to be judging and condemning everybody. And very slow to forgive. Yet Jesus said, make sure you're judging rightly. Because you'll be judged by the same standard. If we judge with hypocrisy, it will come back and bite us. It will swing around and it will get us. Well, we are commanded to judge. We can't escape that command. We are commanded to judge. But we must judge with right judgment. And we have no authority to judge. We have no right to judge if we are being a hypocrite. If we attempt to pass judgment when we are committing the exact same sin, all we are doing is getting ourselves into strife. We do ourselves no good. We do the person that we're talking to no good. And we do the cause of Christ no good. Now, I'm not saying you have to be sinless before you pass judgment. That's going to be impossible. We will never be sinless before we can pass judgment. But what it is saying is that you had better not be living in and making a practice of certain sins that you say are wrong. A man cannot stand and say murder is wrong when he is hating people in his heart and thus he is guilty of murder. That's hypocritical judgment. A person cannot stand and say adultery is wrong. Yet when he goes home, logs onto the computer and looks at pornography, which Jesus says is adultery of the heart. That's hypocritical judgment. We have no authority, no right to speak on these issues if we are making a practice of sin ourselves. If we're going to speak with a moral voice, we better be making sure that we are not enslaved to that sin ourselves. Now this tells us of the high standing of the standard of the church we're called to. We're called to holiness. We're called to righteousness, to be righteous in Christ by the work of Christ, but also to put to death the sin that is within us. We are called to speak to moral issues in our society. We are called to judge righteously. So that means we'd better be killing the sin in our life if we're going to fulfill Christ's command. Because how can we speak to a world and say this is wrong if we are doing it also? How can we speak to the world and say, don't be doing that? It's an offence to God. When we aren't even listening to our own teaching. Jesus says it's useless to judge that way. You'll be condemned. You'll be judged by your own standards. And with that, Christ goes after the hypocrite. He said, look at verse 39 to 42. It says, and he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. So Jesus says the hypocrite who judges doesn't know that he's a hypocrite. He doesn't even realize that he's got a plank of wood hanging out of his eye. He says they're blind and they're walking around with things in front of them that will impede their judgment. Now the analogy is clear here. The parable that Jesus is giving is very clear. He's saying if you have a problem in your own eye, if you're blind or if you have a lump of wood in your eye, you can't see correctly. You cannot give correction. You cannot give instruction because you have the exact same problem. You can't guide people. You can't tell people the right way to go if you're in the same sin because you're going down the wrong path as well. I mean, just think of the analogy Jesus gives here. Some preachers and some commentators say Jesus is actually engaging in humour here. He's saying, I picture these two blind men, you know, walking along, doing their own thing. And one blind man says, I don't know where to go. And the other one says, follow me, I know. Both blind men are not going to get to their destination. You wouldn't follow a blind man when he says, oh, follow me, I know the way. I can see clearly, I can tell you what you need to do. You'd say, mate, you're blind, you don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus says, both of them will end up in a ditch. Would you trust someone to come and work on your eye? If they've got something competing their eyes? You say, don't be stupid. I wouldn't go to an optometrist that did that. My optometrist better be able to see what's in my eye before they start working on me. Yet Jesus says, we come along to someone with a speck in their eye. And we say, here, let me have a look, mate, even though I've got a beam hanging out of mine. The word Jesus used here for the beam in someone's eye is actually the support beam of a building.
Something like that.
Jesus, how can you see the speck in someone's eye when you've got something like that massive lump of wood hanging out of yours? You can't. If you try to fix a problem and pull the speck from someone's eye when you can't see due to the wood in yours, well, you're going to end up hurting them. You're going to end up damaging them. You'll hurt that person, you'll make yourself look foolish, and you'll damage the cause of Christ. See, so many people have been damaged by judgmental Christians. I know of a lady who grew up in the church. And this lady, well, she wasn't a believer. She's still not a believer. And she went to church one night, and this preacher, who had no right to inhabit a pulpit, called her out in front of a massive crowd. And said, "That young woman over there, she's got the spirit of lust about her. She's a fornicator, she's an adulterer." And he passed this strict and harsh judgment, even though it was later revealed that he was doing the exact same thing. That lady to this day wants nothing to do with the church. He was shown up as a hypocrite. She's been damaged. And Christ is being cursed. Christ is being blasphemed. See, we need to realize that when we judge with hypocrisy, we're not just making ourselves look bad. We're not just damaging the person that we're judging, but we are causing Jesus to be cursed. We cause Christ to be blasphemed. In Romans chapter 2, verse 21 to 24, the Apostle Paul deals with this issue. Listen to what he says. He says, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? If you preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Paul says to those who are saying, "Keep the law is great, this is how you shall live." Do you keep it? You say, "Don't steal," are you stealing? You say, "Don't commit adultery," are you committing adultery? And they were. He says, because of that, the name of God is blasphemed. Hypocritical judgment damages the person we're judging. It damages us. But more importantly, it damages Christ. We should be doing everything possible to stop Christ's name being blasphemed. We should not want to see him cursed. But our actions of hypocritical judgment brings Christ to the point where people will curse him. They won't just curse you. They'll curse God. I can't tell you the amount of times I've spoken to people in evangelism who would say, "I want nothing to do with your God because you Christians tell us how to live, but you're just the same as us." They condemn us, but you're the same, is what they say. And they say, "I want nothing to do with your God." Our actions have consequences. It damages the person we judge. It damages Christ. Everyone gets hurt. So don't judge with hypocrisy. This is the warning that's ringing throughout the scripture. Remove the plank of wood before you even attempt to do it. Make sure you can see before you tell someone this is the way to go. Make sure you're not living in that exact same sin before you start judging other people for it. So how do we judge rightly? Jesus does tell us how to judge rightly in this passage. He doesn't just say, "Don't be hypocrites." He says how we should do it. That answer is found in verse 40. "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." In the middle of dealing with how to judge, Jesus says, this is how we should be judging. We're to be like our teacher. We're to imitate him. We're to follow Christ. We won't ever be like Christ. We won't ever be greater than Christ. We're not above our teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be likened unto him. This is how we shall judge. We should take Jesus as our standard. And as we are perfectly trained for his word, as we follow his commands on how we live, on how to live and how to act, when we remove the plank from our own eyes, then and only then can we pass judgment. See, Jesus is the perfect example of how to judge correctly. He was sinless. He is holy. He was never a hypocrite. And he says, I will judge righteously. Yet in the midst of his judgment, notice what he does. Jesus shows mercy and forgiveness. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And we'd do well to do likewise. We should look at Jesus and say we need to be like him in that we should strive for holiness. We should long to put off sin so that we can speak on moral issues. But when we do speak on moral issues, when we do bring about right judgment for sin, we do so in the same spirit of Christ, who says mercy will triumph over judgment. We should bring about the truth and say this is right, this is wrong, don't be doing that, but know this. Even though you have done that, there is forgiveness at the cross of Christ. That's how we should judge. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Our judgment must always be tempered with forgiveness. See, Jesus could rightfully judge and condemn everyone, yet in an act of love, he chooses to forgive people. Jesus could have said, I'm going to judge you because of who I am. I'm going to condemn you to hell rightfully because of what you have done. But he says, I'm also going to show mercy. I'm going to show kindness and point you to the way of forgiveness. And that way of forgiveness is through me dying on the cross and rising again. And though your sin be as scarlet, they can be forgiven. You can be made new. You can be made white as snow. In the midst of judgment, in the midst of condemnation, Jesus says if you'd repent, if you'd believe, forgiveness would come. That's how we are to pass judgment. When we say something is wrong, and we must do this, we must speak on moral issues, we must speak on sin within the church and within society. We must do that. But we must do so with balance. Just to walk up to someone and say, hey, that's wrong, don't do that, and then walk away, that's not judging rightly. We have to say, that's wrong. God says it's wrong. But let me tell you of Jesus, who came to forgive sinners. Let me tell you of the one who can forgive you for that wrong that you're doing. This is where I think that we really fell down, especially in the same-sex marriage debate. We're quick to tell everyone it's wrong because it hurt the family instead of saying it's wrong because God says it's wrong. And so many people in the homosexual community think that we're just out to condemn them. They're not our enemies. We don't agree with what they say and do. See, the debate, when it erupted, we should have said, look, God says it's wrong. God's word defines what marriage is. Same-sex marriage doesn't fall into that equation. You're in sin, you're wrong, but know this. Christ can forgive sinners. Yet so often we left them with one message. It's wrong. Don't do that. And we didn't tell them of forgiveness. If we're going to judge rightly, our judgment must be balanced with love and forgiveness. If we're going to speak to an issue or speak about sin in someone's life, we don't just point out the problem. We point to the cure. I mean, what use would a doctor be who come to you and said, guess what, you've got this life-threatening illness. Pay the bill, see you later. You go, hang on, doc, what can I do? You want the doctor to say, here's the problem. Now here's the cure. And that's how we are to judge. Here's the problem. What you're doing is wrong. God says it's wrong. But here's the cure. God himself. Through what Jesus has done. So we mustn't judge as hypocrites, we mustn't judge just condemning, we must judge with love and forgiveness as our goal. We must never judge with condemnation. Our judgment must always be one that seeks to bring correction via the gospel. Yet sadly churches have the other view, don't we, that we just judge with condemnation in mind. There's no value in that. Just to walk around saying, you're wrong, here's why you're wrong, and leaving it, it's just as bad as hypocritical judgment. That's not right judgment. We judge with an eye on bringing about correction via the cross of Christ. See, Jesus tells us that we are to judge rightly. And the challenge is, do we? We can be so quick to pass judgment. I know I'm very quick to pass judgment. We can be so, so quick. We can see someone, see something they're doing, and quickly look at them and just shake our heads at them and bring about judgment. That's wrong. Don't be doing that. Yet we should remember that God didn't do that for us. He didn't just look at us and say, oh, that lying, that's wrong, and leave us. No, he said, that lying, that's wrong. There's judgment for that. But let me tell you, the one who can forgive sinners. That's how we are to judge likewise. That is how we're to be like our teacher. We won't be above him, but we'll be like Jesus. Judgment with a view of forgiveness. We must judge rightly with Christ as our example, and we must forgive as Christ forgave us. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord and our God, there's so many times that we can be guilty of judging in hypocrisy or judging with condemnation. Oh, Lord, please help us not to judge that way. May we be a people that judge righteously, that judge by saying, this is what God says, and this is how God says you can be forgiven. Lord, may we balance our condemnation of sin with a pointing to the forgiveness of sin. Lord, so many times we have failed and have brought curse upon your name. Forgive us for that. And Lord, give us another chance to live right for you and to show people the right way, to bring about correction by pointing them to Jesus. Lord, be with us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.